talking about? Who is who becomes happy when something bad happens to the Muslims? The Munafiqeen actually, it is actually, they're talking about the Jews of the area, the Jews around Medina Munawwara who did not.
Jews of Oz and Khazraj tribes.
The Jews of Oz and Khazraj, mashallah. This is the answer. Now, my next question is, and if somebody else could answer this question, Allah Ta'ala says there's two things that you need to do in order to protect oneself from these, you know, these conspiracies. What are these two things?
I read Yadadi Aladdin one, sorry.
Yadadi Nusab, please answer.
Sabr and taqwa. Sabr means patience and taqwa means fearing Allah.
Very good. So there's two things Allah mentioned this ayah. If you have two things, sabr, and you have taqwa, then their cunningness should not harm you. What does patience mean here? In this situation, what does patience mean?
Not to react.
Ji?
Not to react. When?
Ji, not to react. The way Prophet ﷺ would not react, he will just not make them close. You know, he will not give them special, you know, he will not make them an insider. Although they will pray with the Prophet ﷺ, these munafiqeen, they will sit, they will chat, all these things, but Prophet ﷺ would not react to them. And what is taqwa? What does the word taqwa mean?
Fearing Allah.
Fearing Allah. Okay. Now, my next question, and this is my last question, before we go on to our new class today. There were five things, five benefits of fearing Allah that we mentioned. That five benefits of taqwa that we mentioned in the last class. Who is going to tell me those five benefits?
I am ready, Hadaji Aladdin Ansari.
Okay, Aladdin Sahab, you answered one question. Somebody else?
I'm Muhammad Sufyan, I can answer.
Okay, Muhammad Sufyan, sir. Yes.
Number one, Allah forgives the sins of the person of the taqwa. Okay. Number two, Allah increases the reward. And number three, a way out of every problem. And number four, risk, barakah in risk. And number five, deep understanding of the things. You mentioned the ayah that, that Allah Ta'ala makes our things, we give understanding of the things. You mentioned the one ayat also, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. About this taqwa, fearing Allah.
Very good, very good. So these are the five benefits of fearing Allah that Allah mentions in the Quran. Five benefits that are mentioned in the Quran. Allah forgives the sins of a person of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala increases the reward of the ibadat that the person who of the person who has taqwa. Allah Ta'ala gives him a way out of every problem. The fourth thing is barakah in rizq. And the fifth thing is deep understanding of things. Allah Ta'ala gives him furqan. And furqan means, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Allah Ta'ala says that if you fear Allah, then Allah gives you furqan. And furqan is the ability to see things very clearly. The ability to understand things. That is why people of taqwa are people of depth, people of foresight. That is why a lot of people, even today, hundreds and thousands of people, they flock to people of taqwa, the scholars of Islam, for opinions for their lives. Why? Because they understand that these are the people who have very deep understanding of things. So that is why, if you have taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very close to you. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna Allaha ma'al muttaqin." Allah is with those who have taqwa. So the central idea of the Quran is also taqwa. If you have taqwa, that means you have done amal on the Quran. So now we move on to our today's class. And the today's session, we will start with ayat number 121 and 122. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Izghadawta min ahlika تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَاعِدَ لِلْقِتَالِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلِّمْ اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم For the last 2-3 weeks we've been doing one ayat. Today we will be doing two ayats because both these ayats are very closely tied together. And I'm hoping everybody is paying full attention. I'll be starting the translation. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa iz ghadawta min ahlik. And recall the time when you left your house in the morning tubawwi'ul mu'minina, to place the believers maq'ida lil qital, in the positions of fighting. Allahu Sami'un Alim, and Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Now, this ayah requires a lot of tafsir, because if you come, unless there's some tafsir, it is very hard to tie the two ayahs together. Wa iz ghadawta min ahlik, remember the time when you left your house in the morning. Tubabbiul mu'mineen, and you left the house because you wanted to place the mu'mineen maqa'id al qital, in the positions of fighting. And the ulama have said that this is when it was time for the battle of Uhud, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this battle of Uhud into this ayah. And Allah ta'ala says, you remember that time in that morning? Early in the morning, you left your house. You left your family. Ahalik, ahal means your family. Tubawwi'ul mu'mineen. And you were going there to place the mu'mineen. Maqa'ida lil qital, in positions of fighting. Wallahu sami'un alim, and Allah ta'ala is all hearing, all knowing. So this is, Allah is talking about the battle of Uhud. And before that, we were talking about these munafiqeen. So now, what does the battle of Uhud have to do with the munafiqeen? So we go on to the next ayah to understand this. Allah Ta'ala says, "Iz hammat ta'ifatani minkum," that when two groups among you, they had decided, an tafshala, that they have lost their hearts. Allahu waliyyuhuma, and Allah was their guardian. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and on Allah must the believers place their trust. So this is the translation you can see on your screens. Now, this ayah or these two ayahs, they require a little bit of tafsir. And the little bit of tafsir is that
जी आवाज नहीं आ रही.
When there was some deficiency in these things, then the help of Allah, was less. So now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this battle of Uhud, what happened was that there were 1,000 Muslims in that battle of Uhud. And there was, among them, there was the chief of the hypocrite. And his name was Abdullah ibn Ubay. And they had all agreed that they will march outside of the city of Medina towards Uhud. And they will fight, the army of Makkah, the Quraysh of Makkah. When they had completely were ready, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he said, you know, I gave this opinion and they're not listening to my opinion, so I'm not going with them. And he forced two other tribes. And who were these two other tribes? The two tribes were Bani Haritha and Bani Sulaim, Bani Salama. So Sulaim is wrong, but it is Bani Salama. These are the two groups. And the chief of the hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he started forcing these. So there were 300 people. So out of the 1,000 people, 300 were about to change their hearts. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu waliyuhuma. Allah was their guardian, these two groups. And although Abdullah ibn Ubay, he forced them to change their hearts, Allah was their guardian and Allah ta'ala, you know, change their hearts back to fighting in the path of Allah. And they started fighting with the Muslims. And this was the story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you remember? And then Allah ta'ala says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that on Allah should the mu'mineen, they should place their trust, the believers should place their trust in Allah. So when you trust in Allah, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help descends in ways unimaginable. So this was a help of Allah that came towards the Muslims' way, that although they had already separated themselves, but these 300 people, they came back. And Abdullah ibn Ubay, he was not successful in his, you know, in whatever conspiracy that he was doing. And there is a lesson in this, that no matter how strong the planning of your opponent is, and no matter how strong your own planning is, success comes through tawakkul, through patience, and through trust in Allah. Now, there's misconception about tawakkul. Tawakkul means to depend on Allah. And the misconception is that sometimes we say, okay, we have to depend on Allah and we should not do anything at all. So if somebody wants to earn, let's say, wants to, you know, he has a family and he wants to, you know, take care of his family and he needs money every month to take care of his family. He says, I'm going to do tawakkul and I'm not going to work. So this is not putting your trust in Allah. Putting your trust in Allah means this, that you use your resources. What is tawakkul? You use all your resources. You apply to all sort of jobs. You try to get the best job. But at the same time, you put your trust in Allah, you make dua to Allah. In your mind, you know that these are all asbabs. These are all things that I have to do. But in the end, success comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a difference between a person of tawakkul and a person who does not have tawakkul. A person who has tawakkul, he is going to bring into his use all the resources that he can. If he's fighting a war, he's going to bring all the resources he can. If he's looking for a job, he's going to use all the resources that he can. And then at the same time, he's going to ask Allah's help as well. And he's going to also remember Allah. And he's also going to place his trust in Allah. So this is what tawakkul is. And sometimes the misconception about tawakkul is that you say that, okay, I have an exam, but I'm not going to study. Allah is going to help me. So this is not how it works. Tawakkul is to use all your resources and then remember Allah and ask Allah's help and turn towards Allah and put your trust in Allah. So in your hearts of the heart, you know that no matter what resources you use, help is going to come through Allah. And sometimes through these resources that you are using. So tawakkul does not mean that you do not use your resources. So once a sahabi, a companion came to the Prophet ﷺ and he had a camel. And he came on his camel, and when he was about to enter the house, he asked the Prophet ﷺ, O Prophet of Allah, should I tie my camel or should I just do tawakkul? The Prophet ﷺ said, you should tie your camel and then do tawakkal on Allah. That you should not tie your camel, the camel is going to leave. So tawakkal is to place your trust in Allah after bringing all your resources into play. Now look at the example of the Prophet ﷺ. How much the resources the Prophet ﷺ used during all the battles. But here in this ayah, because they're talking about the battle of the Uhud, the Prophet ﷺ met all the tribes and forced all of them to fight. Now, to force them to fight, to give them, you know, a motivation to fight, this is again, you're using your resources. You're showing them strength. You're giving them motivation. You're giving them a speech. So if you're doing this again, this is not against tawakkal. Then there is a meeting among the close companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And the thing that they were discussing was, is it better to fight inside of the city of Medina? Or is it better to fight outside in Uhud? And the final decision was that, okay, we will go outside. So see, there is again, there is thinking going on. There's administration going on. You're meeting all the tribes. You're taking opinion as to what the best possible war tactic could be. And who could be more a person of tawakkul than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But he was doing all these things. Then when the war started, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed the army on different areas. Some were put on, you know, on the front side. Some were put on the back side to guard the Muslims from the back side. And it was such a beautiful way of setting up for this war that even the non-Muslim, non-Muslim writer, Tom Vander in his book, and this book is called Life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in this book also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims prophet, he was not only successful as a prophet, but also that he showed novelty in war tactics. So in war tactics, he would show a lot of novelty that was not there in all of South, in all of Arabia. So he not only mentions the Prophet ﷺ as a spiritual personality, he said he was a pioneer in using new war tactics. So the Prophet ﷺ, although a person of tawakkul, he was using war tactics not used by anyone before. So that means in Islam, tawakkul does not mean that you do not use any of your resources and just ask Allah for help. Tawakkul is that you turn towards Allah for help, alongside you use all your resources in whatever endeavor that you're taking. So if you have an exam, you study hard, but you ask Allah for help. If you have an interview, you prepare well. If you have a, you know, if you're looking for a job, you apply to all the places that you can. If you're doing a business, you put in all of your effort. If you have to go on war for some, you know, then you do all that you can do. So this is what tawakkul is. And in these times, we are going through this virus called coronavirus. And there's two aspects of tawakkul that we should look at in this virus as well. One is that if somebody that you know is sick, some people say that we should do tawakkul on Allah. And they say that, you know, it is going to cure by itself. No. If somebody is sick, you should do proper medication. You should take him to the doctor. You should also protect yourself as well. But proper medication, proper help should be given to this person. If he requires ventilator, you should help him. If he requires oxygen, you should help him. If he requires some sort of medication, you should help him. All of these steps should be taken in order to help this patient. This is what tawbah. And then you ask Allah for help as well. You make dua for him as well. This is what tawakkul is. And the final and very important aspect that we are all lacking in these times is that a lot of people, and especially a lot of people who claim to be religious people, they say that we do tawakkul on Allah. So there is no need to protect ourselves. So they don't wear mask. They don't do social distancing. They shake hands with each other. They say, we are people of tawakkul, subhanallah. And they look at people who are doing social distancing or who are wearing masks and wearing gloves and who are staying away from each other. They look at him and they think that these are people who lack tawakkul. And they're wrong. Tawakkul does not mean that you do not protect yourself if there is a virus. If there's a virus and the doctors are saying that this virus is infecting everyone, then you have to protect yourself. You have to wear your mask. You have to wear your gloves. You have to stay away from each other and not touch each other. There should be a distance of 6 feet among you. And then you ask Allah's help that, oh Allah, protect me from this. And oh Allah, this virus has come because of our sins that we have done. So tawakkul is not that you don't take any necessary measures. In fact, what we are doing wrong is that when we say that, okay, we don't need any gloves, we don't need any mask, we don't need to do social distancing, what we are saying is that, you know, we are special. And this virus is going to affect me. And this is a sort of takabbur. That how can it happen that if the virus is affecting millions of people, are you so pious and are you so close to Allah that it is not going to affect you? How? So that means you think of yourself as better than others. So this is not tawakkul. This is actually takabbur. And one should stay away from takabbur and one should do tawakkul, that he should take all measures to protect himself and then ask for Allah's help. So today's ayah about tawakkul has very, very strong implications for these present times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the right meaning of tawakkul and to understand the meanings of this ayah. I'm going to end our class today. I'm ending it a little early than before, but I'll do the translation one more time, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa iz ghadawta min ahlik, and recall the time when you left your home in the morning, tubawwi'ul mu'minin, to place the believers, maqa'ida lil qital, in the positions for fighting. Wallahu samiyun alim, and Allah is all hearing, all knowing. Iz hammat ta'ifatan minkum an tafshala, when two of your groups were about to lose heart. Wallahu waliyuhuma, while Allah was their guardian. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and it is in Allah alone that believers must place their trust. Here I come and end this class. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. If you have any questions about these ayahs, inshallah, we'll take all your questions at the beginning of next class, inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.